If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and find verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. I think last Sunday I kind of got right into the Sunday school lesson and didn't realize it. And I don't know if I'm there this Sunday or not, but if I am, God had a reason for that. Okay? Luke 2, verse 8. We'll read down through verse 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's look back at verse 10 and 11. That'll be our focal point. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your great love, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony that is surer than anything there is your word. Yes, it's more sure than death and taxes. Yes. Father, you give it to us that we might read it and rejoice with the shepherds. And we might rejoice with the heavenly host and praise your holy name. And now as we look at the text, speak to our hearts. Forgive us of our wrongs. Bless those who are hurting today and fill a vacancy in their heart. Father, watch over their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I titled this message, What an Announcement, with exclamation points. But I ask you a question. What is the true meaning of Christmas? Have you thought about it? Have you really stopped and said, now I wonder what the true meaning of Christmas is as compared to what's going on all around us? You know, centuries ago in England, they couldn't celebrate Christmas in the church. And now it's celebrated everywhere in the church. Well, there's some that don't, but for the most part, churches and families celebrate Christmas. Wonderful time of year. What is the true meaning of Christmas. I wondered, so I went to Wikipedia and asked that question. In the mid-19th century, when there was a shift in our secular culture from an emphasis on God to an emphasis on anti-God, and there was a period of time when Christmas was celebrated, but maybe for the wrong reason. It wasn't brought up. And there was a national backlash against it. And some well-known figures wrote against it in newspapers. They spoke on radio, television, different things about the fact that we lost the meaning of Christmas. We've commercialized it and have forgotten why it happened, what it's about. Over a period of time, people have talked about and pointed back to what Christmas is about. I happened to catch Friday when I was sitting down for a moment, and I surfing the television because I don't like to watch a lot of things. And as I'm surfing, there's this thing that comes up, Mickey Mouse Christmas. I thought, man, that can't hurt me. And so I watched it, and I got in on the last of it. And Goofy, he's Goofy. I mean, they did a good job picking him and characterizing him. But at the very end, he tells what the true meaning of Christmas is. And he relates to the second chapter and the verses I read. Back in the 50s, Christmas was really pushed. In 1965, there was something that came out on TV, and it's out every year since then. Put your pencil to it, make your brain work, and tell you how long it's been on TV. Charlie Brown Christmas. How many have not watched Charlie Brown Christmas? Okay. You ought to watch it. You ought to find it somewhere. It's on this year, some channel, somewhere. Charlie Brown Christmas points to the true meaning of Christmas. And there is at the end a young man named Linus, when they're on stage presenting a Christmas program, and Charlie Brown's Christmas tree is not the best in the world. But Linus says, after he quotes this section of Luke, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It's not about the tree that doesn't look good at all, but it looks good because we fixed it up. It's not about a Christmas program. It's not about food. Man, I'm still from last Sunday. What a feed. Great. But it's not about that. It's about this section in Luke. It's about the early sections in the gospel in Matthew. It's even about the section in John, or the first few verses. In verse 1. So this morning, I want us to look at the elements of the announcement of Christ's birth, which tells us the real meaning of Christmas, and it will tell us how our lives have been blessed by the announcement of the angels, and what announcement it was. First of all, he says, I bring you good tidings. In verse 10, good tidings. In some places, that term is translated good news. To the shepherds in the field in the night, the angel said, I bring you good news. Now, these shepherds, what about them? Why did God pick shepherds for? I mean, he could have picked anybody in Bethlehem. I mean, he could have given Herod a nightmare if he wanted to, by waking him up with an angel. I mean, Herod would have flipped out. He already had, kind of, but he really would have then. You see, these shepherds were peasant-type people. They were the lowest individuals on the social ladder. They were stinky. They took care of stinky sheep. And these sheep were important, though. You know, the religious leaders back in Jerusalem at the temple liked to have them to sell to make money. The Sadducees really had something going. You bring a sheep in for an offering, and they'd look at it and say, well, it doesn't match. The priests would say, there's something wrong with it. You got to buy this one over here. And it'd be buying it at a higher price than normal. But if you wanted to sacrifice for sins, which you were supposed to do, you paid for it. These men were out there taking care of it. Now, the religious leaders, Sadducees, Pharisees, and scribes, had decided that they could not keep sheep in a town or close to a town. They had to be so far away at night in a pen. And the shepherds, if they wanted to make sure nobody stole them or no animal broke in and killed them, they slept with them. Well, after a while, you start smelling like a sheep. They want them in town. They'd have to get supplies. Somebody would have to go in, get supplies, and come out, and they'd eat out. And they'd build a fire at night and try to stay warm, and they'd wrap themselves in sheepskins to stay warm. But they would stay with the sheep in a little pen. And they'd take turns watching and guarding the sheep. And here, this angel appears to these folks that are not liked and not invited to the big parties. They're outcasts, so to speak. They're on the outside of situations. And God shows up with an angel. And he says to them right off the bat, I'd be shaking in my boots too. Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news. You got bad news. The religious leaders said, get out. Roman government says, you got to go register where your home is because I want your money. I'm taxing you. Now, for a Jew, that was not a good thing because they didn't think they should pay the Roman government one penny. They should only pay the temple tax. And I'll guarantee you, they collected the temple tax. And when they had to pay the Roman government tax money, that was not good news. It was not good news to them that they couldn't just go and travel and do anything they wanted to do because they were shepherds. And I got to thinking, you know, we could use some good news right now in our country. Amen. Now, I try not to preach about politics, but if they rub my feathers the wrong way, I will. And I'm not going to preach about politics, but we've had a battle with COVID and all kinds of stuff. Now, I got a letter this week ago, I think it was. It's from the Social Security Department. I imagine a lot of you got that letter here. I read it. Oh, I'm getting a raise. Then I kept reading. They raised Medicare more than they gave me the raise for. So I'm actually going to get less money every month, even though I got a raise. And I said, they must think I'm a fool. Can't do nothing about it. But it needs some good news. I'm doing okay. There are a lot of folks that are not doing okay. We need good news in our country.
Amen.
We need lives changed and transformed. There are people you know, people in your family who are hooked on drugs, hooked on pornography. Maybe some here. Doesn't have to be a man, can be a woman. They got that on cell phones now. Hooked on alcohol. Sleeping around. We need good news. Lives need to be changed. People need to be transformed for the glory of Christ. That's why he came. He came to set these shepherds free, to give them hope, to give them new life. The angel said, go into town and look for him. You'll find him laying in a manger wrapped in cloths. Go look for him. Go see for yourself. I think the angel trumped the religious leaders in Jerusalem. What do you think? I believe he did. That's why I look at this book, and God's word always trumps culture and society and politics and even my own thoughts. So word of God trumps it. They had hope. The hope was they could have peace with God. Because the second element, he says here, is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem. They wouldn't do that. They were out there in the field from Bethlehem. A Savior. And word is soter. Means redeemer. Deliverer. God sent a deliverer this day in Bethlehem.
Yes.
You're going to be delivered from being an outcast. You're going to be delivered from being treated the way you are. But I want you to look back up. Verse 10, that last little phrase says, which shall be to all people.
Amen.
Folks, do you know us being Gentiles were left out of the inner sanctum of the temple? We're out on the porch area, close to it, where all the noise and activities going on. Hard to worship. A lot of distraction. Gentiles were second class. I remember being in school, and we had to go to a synagogue. More than once we had to go to a synagogue as part of our education process. Most of the time, it was really good. But one night, we're done with the service, and I'm visiting with the rabbi, and we're having a good time visiting, talking about life and God. And his wife comes up, and his wife says, "These are your people over here. Come over here." And she turned around, walked off, and he apologized. I said, "You don't have to apologize. I understand." For her, him spending time and talking to me about God, and we interacting, was not on her timetable because I was not a Jew. I was a Gentile. And folks, it was worse than that in Jesus' day. And here he says, it's to all people. Doesn't matter if you're a peasant, doesn't matter if you're a middle class, doesn't matter if you're an aristocrat, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're in the White House, doesn't matter where you are, if you're in the palace, doesn't matter if you're sleeping in a tent under a bridge, doesn't matter. The good news is, Jesus came for you. And if you put your faith and trust in him, he will forgive you of your sins. He will change your life. He will transform you. He will not necessarily remove the consequences of your sin, but he will help you overcome them.
Yes.
It's good news. He's a Savior. This word is fantastic. It's a word that was used to buy a slave from the slave market. If you had a relative that was a slave, got sold into debtor's prison, debtor's slavery, or something like that, and you wanted to purchase them out of slavery, you would take 30 pieces of silver, which was pretty common for a slave, unless they was trying to make money off you and knew you was going to pay a good price to get this person. 30 pieces of silver, and you could go purchase this person. And you became their soter, their deliverer, their rescuer. You brought salvation to them. Jesus is our rescuer. He is our deliverer. He has purchased us from the slave market of sin. Listen to what the Bible says. It's interesting. The Apostle Paul doesn't beat around the bush. He just nails us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price." Bought? That's what it says. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Or you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. Your body's his. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed, here again is that word, soter, or a form of it, with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations or way of life, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. God just didn't sit up there and say, well, Adam and Eve sinned, what are we going to do now? No. Before the foundation of the world, he'd already had a plan.
Yes.
What goes wrong, God take care of it. God's never caught by surprise. He never says, oops. They don't look at one another. The Father don't look at the Son. The Son don't look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit don't look at the Father and say, what are we going to do now? He has delivered to us a Savior. A Savior. He's delivered at the fullness of time. When time was ready, and it was at the moment of his plan and his purpose, he delivered a Savior for all people. Oh, that's good news. I want you to look at then an element of humility in the announcement of Christ the Lord. He said, he's Christ the Lord. And then he says he's laying in a manger. Now, when I was younger, it just went pew, right over my head. Or right through one ear and out the other. There's nothing in the middle to stop it, okay? He is the King of Glory. He is the eternal God. When he came as the Son of God, he's not less than the Father, nor less than the Holy Spirit. There are some liberals out there that want to tell you that at his baptism, he became the Christ. Baloney. He was the Christ laying in the manger.
Amen.
He was the Redeemer laying in the manger.
Yes.
He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords laying in a manger.
Yes.
Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How far is it from the throne of heaven to a feed trough? How far did he humble himself? How far? I want to read to you from Philippians. You know the passage, you've heard it several times as you've been in church. I said I was going to read it to you if I can get my fingers to work. It's a great passage. And it says this, chapter 2, verse 5. He's writing to the church at Philippi and to us. Let this mind or mindset be in you. You need this attitude, in other words, which also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form, that word means exact image of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not hang on to the glory of heaven to his advantage. But made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. That word servant is doulos. You're going to hear me talk about that. That word doulos in Koine Greek, in dictionaries, is never, and in the culture when it was written, was never used as servant. It's always used as slave. He says, took on the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. How far did he humble himself? I can't fathom that. How far are you willing to humble yourself to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? How far are you willing to humble yourself so that others can find Christ as Lord and Savior? Will you go under the bridge where those are sleeping in tents? Some of them are there because they messed their life up so bad, ain't nobody in their family or friends want them. They've kicked them out. But that doesn't mean they don't need Jesus. Amen. Are you willing to go to Jefferson City, to our Capitol building, and tell people about Jesus? Or to the White House, where you can't get there, but you get close. Are you willing to tell your family members about Jesus? He left the glory of heaven and came to earth for you and me. Listen to what God's done, and listen to what's going to take place. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, folks, that doesn't necessarily mean there'll be one statement and that's it. I think there'll be a time come when everything, those who know Christ as Lord and Savior, will be on their knees. The angels in heaven will be on their knees. The demons in hell, including Satan, the false prophet, and the beast, and everyone who rejects Christ as Savior will be on their knees. Amen. Now, it won't be good for them, because they're going to have to admit it, and it's going to be painful. But everybody's going to give God the glory. Yes. Until God says, okay. I don't know how long that'll be. I don't know how much time that'll take. But there's angels in heaven that fly around the clock in our world, and all they say is, holy, holy, holy. So we're going to do it. Amen. Now, you'll either do it with joy in your heart, or you'll do it with pain in your soul.
Yes.
And the choice is yours. Because the announcement has been made. Linus said to Charlie, Charlie, that's what Christmas is about. A Savior has come. A Redeemer has come. You've got the good news.
Yes.
He came for you. I'm so glad he came and announced it to the shepherds. I'm so glad he was laid in a feed trough. Because I'm not left out. And neither are you. We're Gentiles. We were left out. If they had a choice. You read the New Testament. You see how it happens. You know. Peter going to Cornelius' house. He said, Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean. God said, whatever I bless and whatever I tell you to eat, you better eat. Yeah. Okay, Lord. And then they have this party at a church, and Peter's doing fine until some from the church at Jerusalem, from James, come down, and he says, oh, I can't associate with them Gentiles, so he gets over here with the Jews. And Paul said, you know what? Even Barnabas got carried away. And he said, I had to confront Peter to his face. I'd have loved to have been a little fly on the wall. Woo! I imagine Paul had fire coming out of his eyes.
Yes.
Because he loved the Lord.
Amen.
And he knew he came for all people. What an announcement. What an announcement. If it hadn't grabbed you before, I hope it grabs you this morning. To understand, the angel said, fear not. Don't run around in this world with fear and doubt and despair, because I bring you good news. And the good news is, God has sent a Savior to redeem you from sin and the power of death and the power of Satan, and give you new life, new hope, and a new home in glory. He transfers you from the family of this world to His. You're born of the Spirit and you're adopted into His family. Twice you belong to Him. Wow! God loves you. Remember that this week. The depth He went to redeem you. You're not going to be perfect this side of glory. We know that. I wished I could be. I think the greatest thing for me is not going to be streets of gold or the pearly gates or all the beautiful color. Other than seeing Jesus and worshiping Him for eternity, I will be free from the presence of sin.
Yes.
And I will no more do something that will hurt my Savior. I'll be so happy to get beyond that. We don't get there. We're still in the sanctification process. Glorification's coming one of these days. But we're not there yet. Do you have someone who's hooked, trapped, and their life's a struggle? They don't have a lot of hope. Give them the announcement. Let them dwell on it. Pray for them. Or after you give it to them, walk away real silently and just say, Holy Spirit, just jump all over them. Just get them. Convict them. Open their mind. Open their heart. If you're sincere, you're praying from the ear. I guarantee you, he'll get on them.
Yes.
They may reject him, but he'll get on them. The announcement. But it may be this morning that you're here and you've been to church and you've never really put the announcement in your life. You've never really put it in your heart. You can this morning.
Yes.
I looked at this bench a few days ago. You know what? That's a good mourner's bench. If you come up here for prayer, I'll pray with you. If you need Christ as Lord and Savior, I'll help you with that. I can't think of a better thing to do than take the announcement to your heart today. We're going to sing a song. And as we sing, if you feel the Spirit of God drawing you, you come. Let's stand together, every head bowed, and then we'll sing. Father, you know every heart. You know every need. Lord, if he'd have been born in an ivory palace, I'd have never been able to relate to him, because the aristocratic society would have kept me away. But in your great wisdom, you made it so even me could have a Savior.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. And bless that person today who is in great need of this announcement in their own life. In Jesus' name, amen.